Our boss may discourage our ideas at work, deflating our excitement. When we doubt, we make mistakes. Fear also drives self-doubt. Instead, let's reflect on those doubts each day in an effort to allow our spider senses to get back up to speed. How? I actually keep a doubt diary, and I propose you do the same. I have an alarm set on my cell phone which goes off around 7:30 p.m. At that point each day, I reflect on something that I second-guessed or felt second-guessed on. It will often help my spider senses recalibrate, remind me of what I want, who I want to be, and what I am willing to give up. It's easy to plow through the day blindly, and oddly, my doubtful meditation moment each day actually brings a sharper focus and allows me to be less hard on myself. To get maximum utility out of this exercise, you should write it down each day, the doubt you have and the reflection brought in when your alarm sounded. The accumulation of data will show you where doubt gets inserted and who or what inserts it. It will also keep you focused on the things that you are willing to fight for. Think about times when your stakeholders asked, "Are you sure?" Otherwise, the doubt can start to accumulate like fat around your midsection, and if you wait too long, it's very hard to eliminate. By completing this exercise, you'll get rid of doubt once a day. You can view this doubtful meditation exercise as a bit of a fat burner for your soul. The 5-Minute Fix. Remove yourself from the world. Lock yourself in the bathroom or closet if you must. Set a timer for 5 minutes. Just sit. Don't feel like you need to do some aspirational, empty-your-mind thing, but also don't read, don't watch TV, and turn off your phone. Close your eyes if you want, or keep them open. Breathe. Breathe in slowly through your nose. Hold it, and then exhale slowly through your nose. Most of the time we breathe too shallowly, making us feel like we're on the brink of hyperventilating all day. Over time, you will start emptying your mind without even thinking about it. Think of all the little 5-minute bits you waste in a day. All you need to do is sit and breathe. Don't pressure yourself to be some sort of Zen guru. Just let go through your breath. Mix it up if you like, and do your breathing in different places. Every so often, do it in a beautiful place like at the beach, in the forest, or in a park. If all you have is the subway, close your eyes and breathe there. Or sit in your parked car, at your desk, on a plane, or on a bus, and breathe deeply. Chapter 18. Anarchy or Authenticity. Know the rules well, so you can break them effectively. Dalai Lama the 14th. I have something to add to the Dalai Lama's words. And know yourself, so you can break them wisely. You're empowered now that you've come this far in the book. You have the tools to think and live differently. These are the first steps to being authentic in your life. Listening to your spider senses and being true to yourself as you reflect on what you want your life to look like. One of the main criticisms I hear about trusting your gut and doing what you feel is right for you is this. If everyone did whatever they felt like doing, wouldn't society fall apart? Quite the contrary, I believe. We have become so skilled at denying our instinctual nature that we have developed all kinds of ugly defenses in response to it. For example, how often do we see politicians spouting off about morality and then discover them in compromising positions? Think of it this way. Life becomes an internal game of whack-a-mole. If you deny something, it will just pop out someplace else, and usually in a less healthy form. We often deprive ourselves of food, only to ultimately give up and start eating in an out-of-control manner. That's why we have so much yo-yo dieting in this country. People starve themselves to lose weight, but then gain even more back when they resume eating from all the food groups, and then some. That's a huge contributor to weight gain nationwide, the varying between excessive control and discontrol. The actual anarchy comes when we deny our authentic sense of knowing what our bodies need in terms of food, activity, and satiety. Anarchy would ensue if we stopped listening to our spider senses completely. It likely has happened to your body at some point, but I'd rather it not happen to you again. By not listening to yourself and your body, you don't know how to feed it, so you may eat blindly, spend blindly, or live blindly, and that may have thrown your own life into unlawful disorder, while the world around you remained orderly. It's time to change that. Finding authenticity. At the center of your being, you have the answer. You know who you are, and you know what you want. Lao Tzu. We overuse the word authentic. In my simple lexicon, it means keeping it real. It doesn't mean living a script, but rather living a real life. Now, to do that, you need to own up to the very characteristics that make you you, even if they don't fall in line with what's expected. Live your script, not the one provided by the world around you. As I say this, I know it's not easy. We often compromise with some soft scripted lives, partly doing what we want, and partly doing what's expected. We think we are doing our own thing, but we are actually obediently living the scripts fed to us by the world, just like the plates of food they give us. And we have been doing it for so long that we start to believe that they are our own. Here's a great way to start living this authentic life and not caving to the majority opinion. Instead of wondering, what's wrong with me, when you don't live the way everyone else around you is living, say to yourself, this is me. Change the conversation. Alter the dialogue. That's the first step to authenticity. And always, always remember, authenticity need not be an act of defiance. It can be soft, organic, and quiet. There's no need to defend ourselves when we buck the trends. Defending yourself wastes tremendous psychological resources. Just be. Authenticity is about listening to yourself and being mindful. When you feel that you're not dancing to the music of others, if you're authentic, you will be less angry and resentful and less likely to behave in ways that don't make sense to you. I believe and have witnessed through my years of clinical work and teaching, and, most important, living, that those who live in a more authentic way emanate tremendous kindness, little jealousy, and lots of unconditional support. Because their lives are about honoring themselves, it extends outward, and they give that gift of authenticity to others, rarely judging, always supporting. In fact, these folks that are likely viewed as authentic anarchists are generally more ethical and rule-abiding than their script-following counterparts. Fear of authenticity. It is fear that lives deep in the mindset of the non-believers, the script-followers, and the people who love social order. The fear is that if everyone lived authentically, then no one would ever get married or commit to anything. I disagree. Not only do I believe people would commit, I think for once they would succeed. They would commit to something from a place of want and see it through with genuineness rather than a forced sense of obligation. If they commit from an authentic space rather than from a fictional one, they will be in line with their spider senses, with themselves, And that commitment to self will translate to commitment to what they believe in. Partnership, parenting, work, school. Recently, I had a conversation with someone about a relationship I am in, and the person asked me, "What will you do if he hurts you?" In the past, I would have played it cool and would have rarely confessed to the depth of feelings I had for a man, believing that if I did, I would be hurt even more. But the feelings were real. I was having them, and my not acknowledging them didn't make them less real. In fact, I was creating a fiction by not being honest, and so while I appeared like a cool customer to the world, almost indifferent, inside I was not. And when it fell apart, which it typically did, I would fall apart too. This time, I own it. It is a complex relationship. I am deeply in love. He has the power to hurt me. And if he betrayed me or left me, I would experience true, painful loss. But right now, he is a source of tremendous joy, so I scream his name from the rooftops. I tell my friends I am in love. My friends tell me they are protecting me. But right now, today, it is real. And so in line with that, I speak about it and live it as such. If a day dawns where he hurts me, that won't change the joy we have had. Instead of looking back at me holding back, I will know that I gave it my all, was witness to something beautiful, and because of that openness, I'll likely find such joy again. To hold back today in the name of an unnamed future is not real, and would hold me back from the full joy of this experience. Perhaps the strength I get now will give me the strength I need down the road. We purchase insurance to cover our butts in a variety of situations, but there is nothing like that in life, and caution does not purchase safety. Take a moment to enjoy what you have today, because you cannot hoard happiness. It is something that must be consumed in the moment. The why. I encourage you to really listen to you and to live an authentic life. There is no insurance policy on life, but if you live an authentic life, own it all, you'll find happiness, you'll find success, you'll achieve weight loss, and you'll empower yourself. There's simply no other way. The now. Now, you're armed. I've asked you to complete a lot of different exercises throughout this book, really thinking about your life. But this is different, because now you understand the pillars of my theory. Stakeholders, gatekeeping, fears, fables, and fairy tales, and spider senses. And you're free to keep it real and envision an authentic life for yourself. So, in this exercise, answer these three questions in your journal. Who do you want to be? What do you want your life to look like? How much closer are you now than when you started this process? Keep using the promise of one. I'm guessing that some of the things you started when you first began doing the exercises may already be habits, and some changes are already occurring. Every day, keep that promise, and keep that running log. I want to share with you my experience doing this exercise, so you'll understand that I'm where you are. I'm working through this with you. When I conceived of this exercise, I was in the midst of a waking dream. I wrote the draft of it while sitting in a cafe at the end of a dock in a little village in Italy. I had envisioned this setting months before, despite having never been here. The backdrop, the town, the light, and the water. I saw myself as the traveling doctor, with her backpack and laptop, writing her book in various corners of the world. And then it happened. I used the promise of one to get here. An email about the village, an exploration of plane fares, a little timing, a bit of debt, a leap of courage. The data told me it wasn't a good financial decision. My spider senses told me it was essential. And I found myself in the scene I'd envisioned. I did the same in my career. I wanted to make an impact on the media, to share my vision and experience with the masses. And, well, here it is. I said it out loud, and I received a few guffaws, both about the Italy trip and the media career. Now, people smile and are happy for me. It awakened dreams inside those around me. I have friends who are now writing, friends who are now traveling, friends who are now starting new jobs, friends who are now leaving dead relationships, and friends who are taking a chance on love. I never told them to do it. I just lived, authentically. You will have the same effect on others if you do this as well. Live your story. Make a list of what you want your life to look like. Some examples include, where do you want to live? What do you want to do? What do you want for your children? What do you want from your relationship? How do you dress? How do you live? This is personal, so keep it real. I am hoping that by this time in the book, you are feeling braver. It could be, I want to open a bar, or I want to write a novel. Maybe you are saying, I want to make a documentary about my grandmother, or I want to travel with my children, or even, I want to run a marathon. The world is a place of infinite possibilities. You might want to climb a mountain, become a chef, or build a house. Don't be afraid to even say, I want to fall in love. That's okay, too. Just own it. This is not a book to listen to just once. It's a guide, and one that you can tailor to your own needs. Listen again. Reflect on your answers. Look at the changes over time. Add to it, and subtract. Maybe you try something out and your spider senses tell you it isn't working for you. Monitor your changes. Stay mindful and harness your mind instead of viewing it as your adversary. Work cooperatively and take good care of it. Feed it, exercise it, and remember how it works. Little by little, through thoughts or through saying it aloud, release the story of your life to the world. Don't be afraid. Ironically, as I write these final words, I am in New York City, about 23 blocks and 23 years from where this journey began, when I started my training as a psychologist. Lots of spider senses got silenced. Lots of stakeholders weighed in. Lots of fears were fought. Lots of golden rules were broken. And there was more than a small body count. 23 years of the promise of one. This is not about weight loss for an event. It's about weight loss for life. This is not about thinking of making a few changes. This is about living the life you want. Check-in. Authenticity. To me, it was once laughable that I would find myself in Italy and subsequently New York, finishing up this book. Here I am. I drowned out the voices. I went for it. I listened to me. But first, I had to figure out what that would look like. That is what I hope for you. Make this check-in a promise to yourself. Honor yourself and live authentically. I hope each day for you ends with the same joy, the same sense of accomplishment, and the same feeling of empowerment that comes with the journey. And remember to keep checking back in with yourself. What you want for yourself today is different from what you may want tomorrow. Give yourself room to try new things and to walk away from things that no longer feel right. Who do you want to be? Become it. This concludes You Are Why You Eat. Please visit our website, www.tantor.com, for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers, or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalog.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.